Oh, we thank you, our Father. We thank you that this day we hear and understand what you have to say. This day you make a deposit in our spirit. This day the Spirit of the Lord working in us informs us, brings light to us, and that light shows forth in our confession, in our words, and what we say. And we thank you. We have victory. Not tomorrow, but today. Not eventually, but now. Victory now. And we thank you for victory. Teach us, our Father. Let all our words be ordered of heaven. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to read you the 149th Psalm, and then we're going to shout. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation. Is this the congregation?
Yes.
Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing. I never learned how to dance, so that's out. Christians didn't dance when I grew up, and that's still not a bad idea. Let them sing praises unto them with the timbrel and the harp, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. So that's what you do when you wake up in the middle of the night. What do you do?
Sing
aloud. It's a Holy Ghost hint. Let the high praise of God be in your mouth. High praises of God be in your mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, to bind those things with chains, yes, and their nobles with letters, I can't hardly see today, of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. The honor have all, this honor have all honor have all the saints. What kind of honor? The privilege of shouting unto the Lord. The privilege of shouting unto the Lord. Are you ready?
Amen.
You're going to shout till I say quit, right?
Amen.
Everybody's ready?
Amen.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can go on shouting. You want to shout some more? I watched a lady. She did that. And she had the whole auditorium of people shouting. She couldn't get them to quit. It's not a bad idea. We've gone over these. If you're new, I'll just brush past them for you. These are the three methods of healing that dominate the scripture, particularly the ministry of Jesus. Now you're going to see prayer of faith more in the Old Testament than the New. The words of faith and the touch of faith you will see dominate the New Testament. So we've been talking about the prayer of faith. Would you come check? I think I bumped my sound system here. I'm wearing the whole sound system. Okay. When we talked about the prayer of faith in the Old Testament last week, we talked about Abraham. Now this is important. Listen carefully. It says Abraham prayed unto God. He prayed unto who?
God.
He prayed unto God. Now that is the word Elohim, which means one worthy of worship. I want you to see the progression through the scripture. He prayed unto God for Abimelech and his family, and they were healed. Healing bridges both covenants, in the old covenants and the new covenant. It's not just a product of the ministry of Jesus. It brushes both covenants. Let me see if I spell that right for you. I think so. And so he prayed unto God. He prayed unto the one who's worthy to be worshipped. The name Elohim is used also of pagan gods. Whoever they decide to worship, they would call Elohim. If they decide to worship a cow, which they do in a lot of places, they would say Elohim. This is our Elohim. This is the one worthy to be worshipped. Now, you know, you're smart enough to know there's only one worthy to be worshipped. And that's Almighty God. Now, when Moses prayed, it said he prayed unto Yahweh. Yahweh. How come I can't spell anything today? I found out long ago in teaching that I don't have to be perfect because you're not perfect. Yahweh, I think, is how it's spelled. And it means Jehovah. And he prayed unto Yahweh. Jehovah is the one who doesn't change. You remember when God sent Moses to tell the people he would lead them out of Egypt? He said, who do I tell them's coming? Who sent me? He said, I am that I am. That's what Yahweh means. It means I'm not changing. It means I don't have beginning. I don't have an ending. I've always been. I always will be. Yahweh. You can see the progression from worship, Elohim, one who's worthy to be worshipped, to Moses, also used by Hezekiah when he prayed for himself. When the prophet came and said, you're going to die, and he prayed for himself. He prayed to Yahweh. It's also used by Hannah. Remember, Hannah prayed for a child. She prayed to Yahweh. They prayed to the one who had... Are you ready for this? Now, don't stumble over this. Causeless existence. Now, you had a your existence, we have a cause. It's the union of a man and a woman. That's the cause of your existence. There's no cause of God's existence. That's why he said, I am that I am. He always was. He always will be. He didn't have a beginning. You know, we had Pekingese for a long time. We had dogs, and we're over it. And we decided to breed one. We had to have a cause. We had to have a union, and so we sent her to a breeder. And she came home with the three puppies, and that was nice. That was the cause. Now, what's the cause? It says God had neither beginning or ending. He was. I am. You'll never find God saying, well, I was, or I did, or I will be. He's Yahweh. He's unchangeable. Always was. Now, when you come to the New Testament, and the disciples asked Jesus to teach him to pray, who did he say they were to pray to? What does the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father. Can you see the progression that we come from? Anyone who can be worshipped, they called Elohim. Yahweh, Jehovah, the changeless one, which is both true that God is to be worshipped and God is changeless, and he always was. He doesn't have a cause of his existence. He just is. So, well, I can't get that. You don't have to get it. God said it. That's the way it was. That's the way it was. But when he had disciples, he moved up a step and he called. He said, we'll pray to the Father. Now, what you haven't seen yet is in Jesus' name. Okay. Haven't seen that yet.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Why is that? Because the value and the authority of the name of Jesus came with his death and resurrection. It came with the defeat of Satan. And when Satan was defeated, it said Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. That's the word to, you could say paralyzed. You know, if a paralyzed man shouts at you, you're not too concerned. Because he's not getting up. Isn't that right? He said, you pray unto the Father. He's introducing them to God as Father. Mm-hmm. Now, that would have been relatively new to them.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Now, you know Isaiah 9:6, where Jesus is called the everlasting Father. That's the one who always will be, just like he is. In other words, he's not going to change his mind. Is that good news? I thought I'd heal you. I've changed my mind. That's never going to happen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He called him our Father. Now turn to John 16. We'll get to your sheets. Don't let them bother you. That's your exercise when we get to it. Jesus is instructing his disciples. He's fixing to be arrested and crucified. And he's going back to this matter of prayer and how to pray. And he says in John 16, verse 23, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing." Now he's talking about the day he said, "I'm going away, but you'll see me again." Now don't go too far with that, because people read that, "I'm going away," and they're looking to see him again way out yonder somewhere. And he's talking about, "In 3 days I'll be right back." He said, "I'm going away, be back in 3 days." They didn't get that. He said, "You'll see me again." And he said, "In that day, in 3 days." See, in 3 days, the name of Jesus would take on the value, the authority of heaven. Yes. And it would be given to you to use, so that when you speak words in Jesus' name, the authority of heaven functions through what you do and what you say. He said, "I'll be right back." You got that right. See, that's interpreted a lot of time, and they put it off too far. Way out yonder, still to come, he'll be back. And that is true. He will be back. But that's not, he said, "I'll be back." He said, "I'm going away, I'll be right back." He expected to be resurrected. He expected God to work. He expected the plan of God from the foundation. So Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Always been the plan. Centuries had passed, decades and centuries had passed, but this was the plan. And now he knows the plan is coming into action. And he said, "We're going to pray. Don't ask me." Now I hear a lot of, but he said, "Don't ask me." That either means that or it didn't. Jesus said, "When I come back, don't ask me." Because we've got the privilege now of going directly to our Father. Is that a most amazing thing? Our Father, he's "Verily, verily, I say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." He said, "I'm giving you permission. I'm going to represent you at the throne of heaven. You go to the throne of heaven. You tell him Jesus sent me." You see that? And it says, "Whatsoever you ask." Now, what is it about whatsoever that would eliminate sickness and disease? There's no buts, ands, or ifs here. It's whatsoever you ask. Now, if you ask illegal or immoral, you understand that's not included in whatsoever. You can't say, "The Lord said, it's okay for me to commit adultery because Wayne is so mean." You cannot contradict the word. He's not mean, by the way. You cannot contradict the word of God. When you contradict the word of God, whatsoever doesn't work for you. That's how that works. You can't contradict what God has said. Now, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, doesn't say he might give it to you. He could give it to you. Give it a shot. You never know. It might work. Just might work. No, he said he's going to give you that. "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name." So that means this is new. They had gone in Abraham's day to Elohim, the one who's worshipped. But the Egyptians had Elohims. They worshipped all kinds of cows and birds and, you know, anything that moved, I think. And then the Old Testament, they worshipped Jehovah, the one who always was. It means also he was self-sufficient, self-existence. Said, "I don't get that. You're not smart enough to get that. Neither is anybody else." Y'all all right? Okay. Some of you look like you went numb. "Hitherto have you asked nothing." You've never done it this way before. "Ask and you shall." You might receive. You could receive. I hope you receive. What's it say? "Ask." Now, what did James say? "You have not because you ask not." So God places real credence on asking. So you have not because you... Well, Wayne's pretty perceptive, but he's not a mind reader either. And if I wanted something, I'd say, "Wayne, let's buy a new sofa." I just chose that because I don't need a new sofa. Every now and then I say, "Let's build a tiny house in our backyard." I love those tiny little thumbprint houses that they're, I just think those are so cute. I said, then we could go on vacation in the backyard. Would that be great? And when I asked him, what'd you say?
No. We have a shop.
He has a workshop out there. It looks like the Mad Hatter's closet. He wants me to go out there and have vacation. And that isn't going to happen. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. See, I'm excited before I ask because I know when I ask, this is granted me. I've got this. I've got it. Fixing to ask. And he said, everybody that asks receives. He says, ask and you shall. You might receive. No, you shall receive. Everybody that asks. I asked a fellow he wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I explained it to him very briefly. And I used a scripture that says everybody. I said, are you a everybody? No, everybody can receive the Holy Ghost. Coming upon you, you understand, in fullness. I said, are you an everybody? And he said, I'm not sure. Verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I'll pray the Father for you. He said, I'm not going to the Father for you. This is the best news in the world, so you can go to the Father for yourself.
Amen.
You do it. Now, it's okay to get somebody to pray with you. We have the prayer of agreement that we've talked about, where two or three agree as touching anything. That doesn't mean that they use that scripture to say where two or three are gathered together, the presence of God is here. And though that is true, that's not what that scripture says. It's talking about two or three coming together to pray, coming in agreement. You can certainly have people come into agreement with you, and you shall receive based on the agreement. You know, sometimes I just need somebody to help me pray. And the scripture gives credence to that. It says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will say that the prayer of faith, what? See, when we say Jesus doesn't heal today, and you may not hear that here. You won't hear that here. But you will hear it in other religions and other churches, but it's not true. Don't buy into it because they have a huge cathedral and a large congregation. They may be as wrong as rain. You know when rain is wrong? When we're up to 20 inches, that's wrong. We've had too much rain. Ask in my name. Now look at James. James. Verse 3 of chapter 4. Says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So there are some conditions to asking. When it says everybody asks, receives, whatever you ask, you receive. There's some things God won't do. And I pointed out to people, I said, let me tell you what the scripture says. And I'll quote the scripture. And I can see on their face they didn't get it. So I open my Bible and I read them the scripture. And the truth is, God said, and they don't believe it. You said that doesn't ever happen.
Yes, it does.
I've been at this over 40 years. It happens quite regularly. It's got to be in line with what God has said. And you've got to go to the Father. Jesus plainly said, don't ask me. That doesn't mean I don't talk to him. Doesn't mean I don't love him. Doesn't mean I don't worship God the Father and Jesus the Son. But if I need something, Jesus plainly said, here's the new rule. Ask the Father. In my name. In other words, tell him Jesus sent me. Now, Suzanne works for me. That's our daughter. And if we send her, she can do our banking. She can do a lot of things for us. But if they question her, which sometimes they do because they don't recognize her face, she'll say, well, my mother sent me, and give her credentials. She has permission to ask. She has permission to go straight to the bank because I gave her permission to go to the bank. And you can go straight to the Father because Jesus said you could. Huh. Now, you note the word Father. My father, he's been gone a long time. He lived with us for a while. Mama died first, and he lived with us for a while. And occasionally he'd come to church with us. And somebody I'd introduced, he's wheelchair, you know. He told Pastor Reggie he's the only holy roller in the building. He had that kind of that sense of humor because he was in a wheelchair rolling in. And I would introduce you. I said, this is my father. In other words, we have relationship. When I go to the Father in Jesus' name, I'm going because of my relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. I'm a relative. So this is my Father. There's a song that says, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of help. It's me, it's me, it's me. Do you know that song? And so what do? You go, where's their help? Where is their help? It's in the Father. Well, Suzanne played the flute, and we got the information on the new flutes, and it was written, it said you could rent it. So when we went to the big meeting, we went with 1 month's rent. I don't know where you come from, but we come from poor. And God meets every need out of his riches and glory every single time. Well, we got there. You couldn't rent the flute. Actually, you had to buy it. So I told the man, we'll be back the next day or two with our money. Now, I didn't have any money. I didn't know where I was going to get any money. So Daddy called that next day and said, Suzanne got her new flute. I said, no, we couldn't rent it. We had to pay for it. And he said, how much was it? And I think they were a little over $200 at the time. I don't know what they are today. She's one of our older children. We only have two, by the way, both older. And he said, well, I'll be over tomorrow is Saturday. I'll be over Saturday with you, chick. Because he's my Father. He's my Father, and he came with the money because he's my Father, and we needed the money, and he knew we didn't have it. We couldn't get it, and God knows you can't heal yourself. Amen. He said, just ask me. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Some things aren't going to work. You better be sure your prayer is scriptural. Right? And don't just sit on it and say, well, the will of the Lord will be done. He said for you to ask. There's been such misunderstanding of sovereignty. They say God is sovereign, and that is the truth. But the sovereign God, the one who is sovereign, said, you must ask. Amen. That's his rule. I didn't make the rule. You can't say, well, we'll just wait and the will of the Lord will be done. No, he said, you ask me for what you need. You ask me for what I want you to have. You ask me. Well, I don't know. You don't have any trouble asking for anything else, do you? But when we come to healing, we kind of tiptoe. John 15:7. Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus said, and James agreed, you need to ask. Now, I'm not talking about begging. One man asked for prayer, and this is what he said. Tell God, please. Tell him I have to have it. Tell him we can't live without it. Tell God to hurry, to hurry. Tell him we're going to die without it. We must have this. And I said, I can't do it. You have to be honest with people. You just have to be honest. I tried to explain to him what we are really going to do. We're going to ask and believe we receive because his request was in keeping with the Word of God. It was the Word of God, his request. You know where he fell apart? Faith and patience inherits the promise. Faith and what?
Patience.
Patience is when you hang in there. Yep. Forbearance is when you put up with. Have you ever had to hang in there and put up with? And long-suffering is when you move forward with great restraint. You're patiently waiting. Your forbearance with any of the obstacles. You know what needs to be restrained, long-suffering? It's your mouth. I don't know what we're ever going to do. You got to restrain your words. The Holy Ghost comes to keep your word. He comes to keep your word. He's the power that makes your word come to pass. So if you're not speaking the word, you're going to be limping along for a long time. Mm-hmm. You got to watch your word. Anyway, what did I tell you? John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now that's how I know I'm not going to ask for anything really dumb. See, I know when I've asked Wayne something that he really wouldn't want to do. You know, have you been there? I've tried to wait for the right time and the right place. You know, a steak makes a good request. You know, you have to be clever. Well, this man said he's a Cumbie. The Cumbie clan is quite large, and he posted something. He said, my wife says to me, when you get to it. He said, I got right up and put on my shoes. He said, when you get to it means now. See, he knew her. He knew her. Well, if you abide, that means you remain, you live. Wayne and I live together. We go, here goes, he goes, well, he goes a lot to Lowe's and Harbor Freight and Tractor Supply. That's his circle. But when he goes, he always comes home because he abides. He lives there. We live together. And I know him, and he knows me. You abide me in my words. That's how I'm not going to ask anything really dumb, because I abide with God. I read his word. I pray in the spirit. I come to know him better and better. Have the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, the eyes of my understanding enlightened. See, when you have wisdom, you know what to do, how to perfect the plan. When you have knowledge, you have the facts and the data, but you have to have understanding of those facts. You have to be able to explain the facts. I know you've read something. You're going to put something together, and you read and you look up the instructions. And you read them, and you do not, you have instructions, you have knowledge, you don't have any understanding. You been there? You actually don't know what's said to do. That's when I cry for help. Cry for help. So if it's by abiding that we know what to do, that we know the will and the plan of God. It isn't that God always speaks to you and says, here's what I want you to do. He may not say a word, but he knows if you're abiding in the word, you're going to know. You're going to know him by the spirit. You're going to know the word by the spirit. You're going to have understanding in the spirit. You see that? Yes? You do see that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Everybody but fearful. Okay. You shall ask what you will, and it doesn't say you ask what he wills. Doesn't say ask what God wills. What he's already told you, don't ask for anything dumb. Illegal or immoral. How are you going to know? Be a student of the word. Ask what he will, and it shall be done, and it might be. Faith in what?
Patience.
And then it says further in Hebrews chapter 10, you have need of patience. That's my favorite verse. You know what? You have need of patience. That's a great hint from the Holy Ghost in Hebrews. You know what? You have need of patience. Now, we had a tree come down. We live on acreage. Wayne inherited 1/4 of his daddy's property. And we had a tree come down near the house. And we backed out Wednesday night to come to prayer meeting. You know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That's in the word. And he backed up and he put on brakes because there was this huge, I mean, like this big, blocking our driveway. We were 150 yards off the road. We can't get out. So we went forward across the field. Field is good if it's not raining a lot. If it's raining a lot, it's too soggy. So we went this way and that way, the other way, and we went there and we went by this little trailer that belongs to Wayne's younger brother. Cumbie boys always look alike. They come in different sizes. Wayne's younger brother is quite a bit larger than Wayne, but it's the same face, same person. Wayne has an older brother as well. So we went across and passed a little trailer that Wayne's younger brother owns, and we went out through this driveway, and we took a right, and then we went right down. We had to go through the ballparks. You know the fish hatchery ballparks out in Cumbie Field? And we went that way, and we finally hit the hard road. Taught faith and patience. We can either have faith and patience, or we can go back in the house, turn on the TV, and forget it. Well, we can't do that. Because it says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. If I'm going to forsake my assembling, I got a really good reason. I mean, a reason that you wouldn't want me here. You know that reason? That you really don't want me here? Abide, 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 remain. Now, look at Matthew 7:11. If you're new, I always holler, so you come, you know that. Verse 11, words of Jesus. You then being evil, or natural, or normal, or sinful, if you being human, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to those that what? Those that what? Not beg. Ask in faith. Ask believing. Now it says he has, a father gives good gifts to his children. if you abuse your children and you cross certain lines, Sheriff Judd will come get you. You cannot abuse your children. And when you say God will not heal you and he doesn't heal today, he becomes a child abuser.
Amen.
You see that, don't you?
Amen.
You know, if I had, let's just say God's a multimillionaire, and I'm sure he's worth more than that, but if I had was a multimillionaire and you came and you wanted $1,000 and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you $1,000. And you were my daughter, or my son, or my sister. You were family. See, when we say our Father, we're talking within the confines of relationship. We're talking about family. He's the Father of our family. He's my Father. He's your Father. He's the Father of the family. And to refuse help to me when he promised me help is to abuse me, is to break his word. Now, let me clarify. There are people that don't want to live. You probably can't help them.
That's right.
Don't let it bother you. Get them ready for heaven, send them to heaven, and applaud as they go. That's the truth. They don't want to live. You say, well, that never happens. Oh, yeah, it does. It happens. I've been right there by the bedside. It's our privilege to walk them to the gates of eternity. It's our privilege when they don't want to live. To walk them as far as you can walk them. Do you see that? Home, sweet home, home, sweet home, nevermore to roam. I see the lights of the cities. My Father is there. My Father, my earthly Father is there, but my heavenly Father, the one I pray to, the one I bring my petitions to. Now it says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things? He's a Father. He does good things. Disease and sickness is not good. When is the last time you had a wonderful, wonderful case of the three-day flu? Oh, it was so terrific. I didn't have to go to work. I didn't have to get out of bed. I didn't have to eat anything. I lost 3 pounds. They waited on me. I gave it to all my children. They got days off from school. It was terrific. Are you crazy? Why would God do that when he said, I'll only do the good things?
All right.
Is healing good?
Yes.
Is he a good Father?
Yes.
Now what does James say in chapter 1? I will read it to you. Hebrews, James. Verse 17. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. You have a Father, and what does he give you? The good and the perfect. I like perfect. If I bought a new piece of furniture, and it was beat up, banged up, got dented on the way of delivery, I'd send it back. And God, see, I paid for that piece of furniture, and I'm not receiving it with any dents and bangs. Jesus paid for you, and he doesn't want you with any dents or bangs. He wants you to walk on earth and to walk healthy and to walk well. Say, how'd I get sick? You ask Adam. He's the one that started that. Goes all the way back to Adam. Now, if you go from man to man, woman to woman, you have helped Adam out. You understand that. You have a responsibility. But sickness is here. But God said, I'm going to do what's good and what's perfect. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Why, he's your Father. Wayne had a wonderful, wonderful father. And we built our house behind the canal. Across Cumbie property is the canal that connects Lake Parker with Saddle Creek Park. And Wayne wanted to build behind the canal, and we're still there after 50-odd years. And we had to have a bridge. Have you ever built a bridge? Just a little more than $1.98. But God, did I mention God only does good and perfect things? Well, Wayne built the first one with telephone poles. You can't get telephone poles anymore, but we built the first one. And it lasted a long time. But the water, when they opened the Lake Parker to go to Saddle Creek, the water rushes through there, and over time it washed the bridge out. Mm-hmm. So then he got out the original paperwork where they dug that bridge, and they had promised the Cumbies to provide ingress and egress for 100 years. Mm-hmm. And we're within the scope of 100 years. And they sent a professional team, and we have a professionally built $250,000 bridge across our property. Because he's a good father. Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes. See, he even does some things you didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. We weren't even alive when they signed that paper. Yeah. What does he do? He's a father. What does a father do? Good and perfect. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father. Blessed be the God and who?
Father.
Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven. In that day ask me nothing. Ask and you shall receive. Abide in me and my word abides in you. And you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. You see all. How many is included in all? You know what all means? It means all. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, if heaven's got it, you can have it. That's what that means. If heaven's got it, it's yours. You can have it. All spiritual, what kind of blessings? The good and the perfect. Have you ever tried to pick a paint color for your house? Did you want to beat your head up against the wall? I did. And we tried. What can I say? First, when we built the house, we painted it yellow. And I don't know why we painted it. I hate yellow. I am not a yellow person. I would, you know, and I thought. And after the paint was up, I thought, oh my, it's yellow. We did it. See, some things you've got, you know why you've got them that way? You did it with your mouth. You did it yourself. You did it yourself. That's why it's that way. That's why. Now, I have some yellow shirts, and I had a yellow jacket I wore all the time with my black shirt and black pants, which I really liked. But I didn't want yellow all over my house. I couldn't wait to find something I liked better. I wanted something that was perfect. And I didn't think yellow was perfect. So I love yellow. You can have my can. I'm not against yellow for you. Wear all the yellow you want. I don't want any. That's just the way it is. Said, you are a crazy lady. Yeah, I get worse with age. Spiritual blessings. Everything God's got, he'll make available to you, and it'll be perfect. You ever got something you didn't think was perfect? Have you done that? You thought, what in the world? Somebody gave you this present. Have you done that? And you open it up and you think, my first thought is, what is it? And right after that is, why did they think I would like that? People's taste is amazing. But we have to be kind. The scripture commands you to be kind. Everything that's given to me stays in my house on display for a year. I want my heart to know we appreciate your effort. We appreciate your money. We appreciate your time and shopping. Everything stays a year. Well, this lady was in my class. She's gone to heaven. She was in my classes. I've been here a long time. And someone gave her something. She said she opened it up and she took one look at it and threw it right in the garbage can. And then she walked off a distance and she could hear my voice saying, you have to display that for a year. And she said, I went right back, took that out of the garbage can, put it on the shelf, looked at it for a year. Because you have to be kind. Now, is God kind or unkind? Is he good and perfect? Does he send good and perfect? Does he work with you like a father because that's who he is? Have you ever had one of those tests at the clinic, any clinic, that was painful? I did. They told me it was necessary. I don't do anything I don't pray about, and I went forward with it, and they said this will only take seconds. This will not be painful. They lied. I was gasping for breath. I couldn't believe it. See, when they said this will not be painful, they didn't tell the truth. But when God speaks to you and says this will be perfect, that's the truth. That's the truth. He said it'd be perfect. That's the truth. Now look at down here in Ephesians while we're here. Verse 5, having predestined us, it means he planned this all out ahead of time, predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, you became a child of God. And as a child of God, the Father who's always good and always perfect, always does perfect things, is going to do perfect things in your life as you abide in him and believe in him and walk with him. He can do the perfect. Predestined us to adopt. Now look at Romans 8. It's in several places that you are a child. Said maybe I'm not a child. Yeah, you are. Verse 16, chapter 8. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God. Joint heirs. Do you see joint heirs? Wayne and I have a joint checking account. And if I got mad, I don't think I've ever been that mad. I've been mad a couple of times. I could go down to the bank and close the account. My name's on it. I could take every dime. Because I'm a joint heir. It's a joint account. It's all mine. He could do the same. It's all his. I could go down there and say, oh, Miss Cummings, this account is closed. That's Suzanne. Her name's on it. She could go down and take all the money. I'm going to whip her if she does. We haven't whipped her in 4 decades, but this could be the day. This could be the day. You're an heir of God. What does God own? You're an heir of Jesus Christ. You're a joint heir. You're a child and a joint heir. And everything heaven has, everything that belongs to Jesus now belongs to you. It belongs to you. You got that? Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs in me. My father was a church musician. You know that if you hang around. And I only remember the first line of songs. What kind of father is he? Good. What does he do?
Perfect.
Is healing perfect?
Yes.
Is disease bad?
Yes.
Just checking. Make sure I made my point. He's a father who loves you. God became your father through the sacrifice of Jesus. And when you received him and you confessed him as Lord, he's father to you. Now let me tell you what a good father he is. Ephesians 3, God will do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Now if you need $100 and you go to God, he's going to do exceeding abundantly above. Watch those words. Exceeding, that's in Ephesians 3. Exceeding abundantly. Don't you wish I was a school teacher? Above all you ask. So he's going to do whatever I'm asking for, he can do above that. So if I ask for $100, he's going to send $125.
Yep.
Because he said, that's what I do. I'm a good father, I'm a perfect father. I'm going to send above what you ask.
Amen.
Now, I didn't think of this. A lady told me this. She said she had never asked for some money that she didn't get more because the Lord knew that she needed that $100 plus the tithe. And he always sent enough money for her to tithe on that $100. Oh, I thought that was brilliant. He did above all. And he does abundantly above all. That means he's not going to send the $100, $125. He's going to do abundantly above. He's going to send $200. He's going to do abundantly. He says this is the kind of God he is. He's a perfect God. This is the love that he shows to you. He's going to, you know how much that is to exceed abundantly above? That's probably 500. Why? Because he loves you and he's your father.
Yes.
He's your father. He loves you. Jesus said, just go ask the Father. Now you got your piece of paper? I judge wanted you to see in union. I have 2 minutes. I'll probably go over 1 minute. Hebrews 7:7. Do you see we capitalized some words for you? We're only going to read the capitalized words. You got that? Is that too hard?
Yeah.
Matthew 7:7. It shall be given. You shall find. It shall be opened. You there?
Yes.
Read it again. It shall be given. You shall find. It shall be opened. Mark 11:24. You shall have. John 15:7. It shall be done. John 16:23. He will give. It you shall receive. 1 John 5:15. Know that we have. Want to do that again?
Yeah.
This is good, really good for your heart. Matthew 7:7. It shall be given. You shall find. It shall be opened. Mark 11:24. You shall have. John 15:7. It shall be done. John 16:23 and 24. He will give. You shall receive. 1 John 5:15. Know that we have. Is that proof enough for you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.